Hello, and welcome to the KRFY Community Conversations. This is Julie Calamine. I'm your weekly host. I'm sometimes joined by Phil Huff, and sometimes Phil Huff is joined by me, and sometimes we do interviews individually. And this is one of those times. Listeners, we're lucky enough today to talk with a person who is a ham radio operator, but he's not just that. He's a ham radio operator who brings his ham radio equipment all over the place, and that includes up mountains. I'd like to introduce hiker and ham radio Bill. And Bill, you're going to have to pronounce your last name for me.
It's Skurjank.
Skurjank, Bill, I can do that.
Skurjank, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Very good. Well, Bill, welcome. I'm so happy that you could join us. And I think we need to start by talking about how it is that we know each other and how we've met. Would you like to tell the story?
Yeah, in, I guess it was the end of April, mid-April. We're both members of the Idaho Trails Association, and myself and my wife were chosen to go on a raffle, I guess, to go into the Gospel Hump Wilderness area and help on trails. And you also were there as a part of the advisory board, I think, if I remember right. Or...
Yes, I'm on the advisory board for Idaho Trails, and it sounds like you're about to be on the advisory board or already are on it, yes?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Well, congratulations.
And it sounds like you guys all get together and do that once a year, kind of get all the directors and advisory board together. And myself and Tammy, my wife, we were lucky enough to be chosen or raffled to get on the jet boat and go down the Salmon River about 12 miles and start working on trails.
And that was quite a trip and a lot of hard work, but we really got to know each other on that trip too. So it was really fun. Yep.
Kind of a standing joke. The standing joke is we won the raffle, but I don't know if it's a winning thing.
Right. What did you really win? That's the question. You won a week of pretty hard work, but a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Met a lot of new friends, so it was all worth it.
That's right. Well, now let's move on to you, and I'd like to know how you became interested in ham radio, and beyond that, how you became interested in taking your ham radio up on top of mountains.
Okay, I'm originally from Butte, Montana. I moved down here about 35 years ago or so, in Pocatello, Idaho, and in Montana and in Idaho, I'm an ultra trail runner, and a lot of times I'd be running these ultra training runs. I'd be running 15, 16, up to 20 miles of training run towards the end and start tapering. And all these trail runs, I'm sure you folks are familiar with up Sandpoint, the elevation gains and that stuff. And you get to a summit and I'm like, I just spent an hour and a half trying to get to the summit, and I'm just going to have a goo and a protein bar and kind of wander my way down. And right about the same time, we have a local race here that uses handheld radios. I'm sure everyone's seen on all the races and that stuff. And I thought, boy, that would be cool to be able to do something with that on a summit. And so Google was my friend, and I Googled something to that, I guess, something to that resort, I guess.
Some form of Google, I suppose ham radio came up.
Yep. The ham radio came up, and I put it Ham Radio Hills, and there's a website, and it's kind of an organization called SOTA, Summits on the Air. So it's S-O-T-A, SOTA.
Oh, I almost misspelled that.
Yeah, just Summits on the Air, just, yep. Yep.
Yes.
So I looked into that, and I got a little amateur radio. And I started putting it in my pack, and my radio itself is currently the size of a deck of cards. It's really small, 5 watts. And people seem to ask, how do you get contacts, with that small radio? Well, sometimes they forget I'm 8,000 feet, 9,000 feet antenna. So
there's
no interference. And that's basically how it all started.
So it gave you a little something else to do after you've made really a big achievement. You made it all the way up a big peak. And then most of us sit there, like eat a half sandwich, try not to get cold, and then start heading down.
Yep. look at the views, and which isn't a bad thing either, don't get me wrong, but
but still. Well, for those of us who don't know, and that might be me, I'd like to know just a little bit about what ham radio actually is. Is it the same as AM or FM? Is it the same as like our little walkie-talkies? What is it?
Well, ham radio is amateur radio. It's use of a radio non-commercially, where you can't have ads or anything like that. It's more of a exchanging messages, wireless contact with each other, private recreation, emergency communication. I mean, there's a lot of emergency communication with ham operators, if you so choose. I kind of tend to stay away from the prepper side of it, because sometimes they go on the deep end of it, and they can kind of carry us too far sometimes. But if there's any kind of emergency like that, it's always nice if the cell service went down and everything else. That's who.
Yeah, because you just told me it's only 5 watts, so it can be done without much energy, and it's a way to communicate.
Yep, exactly.
And the waves must be different than like FM or AM, or maybe not. I don't know, because you're getting way up high in order to reach people.
Well, that's a key too. I don't want to get too technical, because I'm not a technical kind of guy.
I'm not either.
Right now, currently, every 11 years, we go through a sunspot cycle. And 2 years ago, we were at the minimum solar minimum, they call it. Oh. And now we're starting to go back up to the cycle. And as we get higher in the cycle, more sunspots, more electromagnetic energy energizes the ionosphere. And then that's how I get my 5 watts. It hits the ionosphere. It's like a shield over the top of the Earth, basically, and bounces back down into a different country.
Oh, man. So ham radio, it's been around a long time, right?
I think the original started back in 1909. A club started back east, just a regular radio club. And Marconi, I'll probably be correct, I think he's the one that started it, kind of.
Okay. Yeah. I think popularity has gone up and down over the years. I'm just wondering, how popular is it today?
It's popular right now. We have 700,000 ham operators in the United States, and near 3 million worldwide. So there, but when you really look at the percentage, there's not a lot in doing it. So, and you have to have a license from the FCC, a regular license, and it's a lot of people get confused with CB, citizens band. It's nothing like that. I want to say it's more professional, but you're kind of held to the fire more for what you're talking about, what you're saying over the air, that kind of thing.
It can transmit so far, I suppose. Exactly. That makes a difference. Yep. And wow. So, Bill, I want to ask you, I know you told me about soda. It seems like a very unique person that would want to take their ham radio up to the top of a mountain and talk to other people. But are there a lot of you? Are there a lot of people in soda?
There's quite a few, and soda goes on summits on air. They have a point system set up. Each summit's worth a certain point, and once you get 1,000 points, you get what they call a goat. You become a goat, and you get a little award and that kind of thing. It's kind of fun. So that's what you're really trying to gain, is the goat status. And I think I'm up to 562 points. So,
and that's in 1 year.
It took me 3 years. It takes a long time to do this. Yeah, it takes a long time and effort.
Why don't you tell us, me and also the listeners, about some of the places that you've gone and ham radioed?
Okay. My wife and I, we took a trip down to Arizona and did a couple of the craters down there, all the volcanic stuff going on down there. And a kind of unusual thing we found during that is, down by Flagstaff, we're hiking on top of the summit. We found literally a boat on the top of the summit, an 8,900 foot summit. We couldn't figure out how it got there, but a friend of mine, I talked to him, who lives down there, and he said they probably had it in a harness in a helicopter, and the harness might broke and just dropped. And so it's been sitting there for years, he says, for as long as he's known it. So
that's
stuff like that. You never know what you're going to see. Yep.
No. What other places have you been?
We're planning a trip to go down to Crater Lake, and meet a group of people in Oregon. And we're going to
Nice.
all have a kind of a get together there, kind of a everybody's going to go on to a different summit and talk to each other that way and just kind of have a good old get together,
That
that kind of
sounds fun.
thing.
Well, I know you can reach people from all over the world, but do you also just like you just talked about reaching friends that are just going to be on peaks near you, but what about like other maybe other places just in the US? You get to the top of a peak and might you find someone who's just in the US too that wants to connect
There's
with
a
you?
lot of us in the U.S. that also do that, and we have a special thing called Summit to Summit. It's S2S, and if you find out somebody's on a summit through the web, there's a soda watch. It's called soda watch, and you can see who's on the summits, and you
Oh,
try to
that's cool.
contact them back and forth.
Yeah.
And then for the other ham operators, and they're more familiar, they operate with a net. It's called a net. And it's kind of like a party line. At a certain time every Thursday, they all meet and they test their equipment, that kind of thing.
Yeah, just
And
kind of
yep. And
check it
another
out.
thing that a lot of the amateurs don't really have a desire to go do soda. And a lot of them are in Kansas City, where it's just flat. There's no mountains like we have up here.
Sure,
There's
right.
another program called POTA, Parks on Air, and they're posted all over the United States, and most states have probably about 60 or 70 parks on the air that you can activate. So,
Oh, cool. So you can check in with the parks and see what's going
yeah.
on. You're pretty involved in ham radio. Are you involved? Are you tell me about your
On the ham
contributions.
radio.
Yeah.
On the ham radio part, I was on a summit, and we call it on the phone with the microphone, like everybody has a microphone. Well,
Yeah.
not everybody, but most people have. And it's like my only comparison, it's hard to get contacts with people on soda with 5 watts. It's like a shotgun, it just spreads out. So in turn, I got disenfranchised with it on talking on it. So I learned Morse code.
Oh
CW, we call it.
my. Oh,
Yeah,
because
so.
we're languages. You can't just necessarily talk with anyone, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
Right. And is that
Yesterday, I was on Old Tom, south of Pocatello here. It's an 80, about 9,000 foot peak. And I talked to a gentleman in Slovenia, and I talked to a gentleman in France. So,
using Morse code?
using Morse code. Morse code's like a laser almost. It's just a lot easier to make contacts with. And
Yeah,
it's just old
great.
school. I love it's retro basically using Morse code. And
Right. And that's part of your little tiny radio, or do you need another keyboard or something to do the Morse
no,
code?
it's part of my little radio. I have a little key, we call it, the dit and dot one,
Yes, the tap, 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 whatever you do.
and I
Yeah.
got almost too proficient with. I'm not saying I'm really proficient, but I was teaching classes through Zoom also. Morse code classes. I did that for 2 years and just get people started.
I think it makes sense because if you're gonna go up on a high peak and maybe reach someone from a foreign country, it wouldn't be that much fun if you start talking different languages. So you kind
No.
of have a common language.
Yep. So
Yeah.
it's just fun. You just never know what you're gonna run into. And my wife and myself, she Tammy, you met her. She
Yes,
goes with me. She
Tammy's
doesn't
great.
participate. Yeah, but she'll take a book. And she'll sit there and read a book and that stuff. It's kind of a family outing. You went with us. We didn't go out with the radio, but we look for mushrooms. There's a lot of other things included with this.
Of course, it can go on while you're hiking, but to
Yep.
add ham radio is really fun.
Yeah.
I have to ask this question, and it's not on the outline that I provided for you, but I had a friend. I was telling him that I was going to be talking with you later today, and he said, "Well, what about the social? It must be a very social experience because you're meeting people. Do you stay connected with certain people, or does it tend more to be like a one person here, one person there kind of experience?"
You a lot of times with at least soda, you do get the same operators because they're doing the same thing you are. So that in that aspect is social. There's
Yes.
every town, I think Sandpoint may or may not, I don't know for sure. Most towns have an amateur radio club.
Yes, we
And
do, but I'm sad to say I wasn't able to get one for our interview today, but maybe they'll get in touch with me after the interview.
yep. And a lot of it too is with the amateur radio clubs. They offer great support with local race, foot races, bike races. They just, you know, tell like there are soda. No, I'm sorry, our ultra marathon we have here in Pocatello. We have certain checkpoints that the ham operators literally tell the next checkpoint who went through it, who's going to drop, so that way no one gets lost. And same with the road bike racers, and that if a person has a flat tire, a ham radio operator will tell them that, yes, number 27 is dropped because of a, you know, mechanical failure or something like
that. Yeah, so it's really used for more things than just going up to the top of a mountain and finding people all over the world. You're still really using it for things that can be of benefit.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah.
And like I said, you do have to get a license FCC, from the FCC. They have to prove it. They give each person a call sign. My call sign is N0DNF, no DNF. So I've never dropped out of a race. So I'd be lucky in that respect. So
yeah, very good. So, is it like us here at Community Radio where there can be no swearing or foul language and that kind of thing? Is that part of your...
It is. You really got to watch. Yep. It is.
Yeah, exactly. You got to watch your language. Yes, because other people will hear you. You don't want to lose your FCC qualifications. No.
And they can pull it, and they will pull it. I've heard them, heard of stories where they have pulled it before. And you have to get, update your license every 10 years, I think. And there's a lot to it. And it's easy to become a ham operator. You can take practice tests online, and most radio clubs do offer, if they look and Google it, and they'll find a radio club in your area who will give you a test.
Oh,
and
nice.
If you pass the test, then you'll get a license. And there's technicians, there's a general, and there's an advanced. There's three stages of it.
And so, I suppose that you're able to do more or less depending on your designation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very neat. Do you have any particular story that like is a top 10 experience of doing ham radio?
I didn't know what to think of it. I was doing a CW class, and I had a gentleman from the Eastern Bloc, and he was over in South Korea. He was a professor, and he was trying to learn CW, and just kind of, it felt okay, but it's just kind of different. Like you hear the communist state, are they listening,
right?
And that kind of, especially
what are they thinking
South
about?
Korea.
And, yes, right. And what's really going on? Is it just one person talking to another person, or should you be worried about what you're saying?
Yeah.
I could imagine I would have same feelings.
I was more worried for him.
Oh,
because
right.
You have to watch what you're saying, and he had
right.
a same thing. And we don't know how lucky we have it over here,
right.
Stuff like that.
Gosh, I know it. That's so.
And I was on a summit, this is kind of unique, it'll stand out. I was on a summit last week, and I had my earphones in, doing CW, trying to activate it, and I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and here was a great big old white Pyrenees dog. I mean, I'm like 9,200 feet, just walks right by me. And of course, about Pyrenees, they're pretty good guard dogs, but there was no sheep around or anything. And he looked at me, and I knew he wasn't lost because it's just the nature of them. And I watched him, just climbed underneath a pile of buck brush and just laid in the shade. And I thought, oh, what is that dog doing?
Yeah.
And then by he was downwind from me. Then about 5 minutes later, I heard the bells going ding, 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 ding. And here comes a whole flock of sheep right through the middle of me.
Oh, how fun. That must have been fun.
Yeah,
I think that sounds like a great experience.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, we've got listeners here in the area, of course, and it's a pretty big area that we broadcast to. And if they thought this sounds like fun for them, if they wanted to get started on ham radio, how do they do that? How do you get started?
You can just, like I said, Google a local radio club. You're in Sandpoint, if I remember right, or Coeur d'Alene. They'll have a local amateur radio club, and they can steer you in the right direction on that end of it.
Okay.
No point in that.
Use Google.
Yep.
Yeah, I
really encourage people to do it. It's just a fun thing to do.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. I was going to compare it to other things that we do when we're hiking, and you and Tammy and I were looking around for mushrooms the whole time that we're on the Idaho Trails Association board trip on the salmon. But it's just like another thing that we can add to our experiences outdoors. And that's why I was so intrigued to hear more about it from you. I know folks who go out and paint in the outdoors, plein air painting, and, you know, there's just so many things that we can do while we're out there. We learn about our wildflowers, our birds, so many things, but ham radio is something that I'd never thought about. I love it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So we enjoy it. Yeah. It's a family activity too. It's, you know, the whole family can do it, you know.
Yeah. And you just never know what's going to happen. So, well, yep. Bill, have I missed anything? And is there anything I've missed that you wanted to point out about your experience with ham radio, or should we just go ahead and conclude?
There's really nothing I don't think we've really missed. If anybody wants to get in contact with most, it's called, you can Google QRZ, and it'll have everybody's address on it. And my call sign is N0DNF. So if you just put N0DNF, they can get a hold of me that way too, if they have any questions.
That's really kind. That's nice of you to offer that. And I think there might be people that will, because it sounds like fun. It's a nice way to communicate, and just kind of a fun thing to think about doing when you're in the outdoors. I love it.
Yeah. And you have my Gmail. If you so choose, go ahead and point in my direction if they have any questions.
I sure will. Well, listeners, this has been KRFY Community Conversations, and we've been talking with Bill Skurjank about ham radio, not just sitting in your house, but out in the outdoors, walking up peaks and meeting people in places all over the world and all over the country that are doing the same thing. What a fun way to get outdoors and enjoy your life in the outdoors. KRFY, thank you very much for listener support, and we'll talk with you soon. Okay.